I thought what we would cover are the parallels of the Passover and the crucifixion of Christ. Mother made this chart a few years ago, and it's 2 pages. But first, I thought we would cover these passages that have to do with the Passover. And then after we sing, I plan to finish up Luke chapter 19, which was Jesus going into the temple on the 10th of Nisan, on that triumphal entry Sunday, and drove the money changers out of the temple. And but first, I want to look at Exodus chapter 12. I'll read verses 1 through 6. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now, it is not named what month this is here, but we're going to look at a passage in Esther that tells us that the first month was Nisan. And so that's where we get that this is the month of Nisan. And now that's their... God has realigned their calendar from this point on to where now their month of Nisan will be the first month of their year. So it would be like us changing our calendar. Instead of January being the first month, and now it'll be, say, March is the first month, or April be the first month of the year. That's what God did to them right here. Verse 3, speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, this is God speaking through Moses, "On the 10th of this month, so the 10th of Nisan, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to him take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb." Now, I searched on the internet briefly, and there were people that commented on there that what the Hebrews did was, it was a lamb per 10 people. So, I don't know if that is right or not, but they said that that's what they started doing, at least traditionally, down through the years. It would be a lamb per 10 people. And so, that's what God was saying. If you have too few of people, even though the number's not given, then you just go with your neighbor and you share with your neighbor. You join in with them. Verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish," which this is very important. And my Bible even gives a reference here, 1 Peter 1:19, which we're going to look at. And we will see who the ultimate sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God, was. And Peter says that he was without blemish. But a male of the first year, so a yearling male lamb, and you may take it from a sheep or from the goats. So it's either a lamb from the sheep or a what we would call a kid from the goats, but it's a yearling on each, and it has to be a male. And without blemish. Those are the three things that it had to be. "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month." So, what are they doing from the 10th to the 14th? They are examining this lamb for a blemish, for a spot, for some kind of a defect. If he had a limp, or if a gash got into his side, or you know, anything of a defect, then he had to be thrown out and replaced. And thrown out, just disregarded. He could not be the sacrificial lamb. So God wanted them to hear for the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. There were 5 days to examine this animal. And then ultimately, God examine this animal over these 5 days to look for a blemish, and replace it if there was a blemish found. If there was no blemish, then you sacrifice him on that fifth day, which would be the 14th of Nisan. And we don't have to wonder why God had them do it this way, because this follows the pattern exactly of the crucifixion week that the Messiah would follow. And that's what this parallel here that Mother has written up, that we will show how Jesus paralleled what they were doing for 1,500 years on the Passover week. Okay. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Now, unfortunately, the King James translated the Hebrew here as twilight. Kaufman is the one that first put me onto this. He said that from the Hebrew, it is between the eaves, or in the middle of the evening, which is what we would call the afternoon. And so, what is in their afternoon started at noon. So from 12 to 6 p.m., what is in the middle of that? 3 p.m. That's when they were to start killing these sacrificial animals. And we don't have to wonder, why did God have that time chosen 1,500 years previously? And it was because that was the time that the Messiah would give up his spirit, and that he would die as the sin sacrifice for all of mankind. And so God had these Israelites following this pattern that the Messiah would go through for this week of Passover. And so for 1,500 years, they were going through this pattern to ultimately recognize and realize, or to help them realize, that this was the Messiah, the sin sacrifice for all of mankind. But I'm confident the vast majority, unfortunately, have not. They still reject him. And even though all the parallels are here, they just rejected it. And then while we're here, I want to look at verse 16. And it's talking here on the first day. This is talking about the actual Passover day. So this will be the 15th of Nisan, the next day after the 14th, the killing day. So on the first day, the 15th of Nisan, there shall be a holy convocation. Okay. Now, in the New Testament, this day is what is referred to as either a high day or a high Sabbath day. And that was the Friday is how it fell on the week that Jesus was crucified. And that was the 15th of Nisan. And that explains why that what seems to have taken place is Jesus died at 3 p.m. They had Joseph of Arimathea had to go to Pilate, get permission to take possession of Jesus' body, go and bury Jesus, or put him in this tomb that Joseph had prepared for himself, but he was giving it to the Messiah. But he then had to prepare the body with spices, wrap him with the linen. And so, obviously, what Kaufman felt like, he did not have enough time. And the women were there also. There were the three Marys were listed. They did not adequately be able to prepare the body the way that they would have liked to. So that explains why the women were going back to finish this, to do a complete job. But when 6 p.m. showed up, whenever the sun went down on that Thursday night, then it was the 15th of Nisan, that started the Passover. That is a holy convocation, and no manner of work shall be done on the holy convocation, and also the seventh day. But this first day and the seventh day are high days or holy days, special days, in addition to the ordinary Sabbath. So, so no work shall be done on them. So that explains why they probably ran out of time. And so they had to go back, but they couldn't do it on that Friday. And then they couldn't, of course, do it on the Saturday. That was the ordinary Sabbath, that no work. So there were 2 days there. So that explains why the women show up on Sunday morning. That was the very first time that they had to finish this spice and I'm not even real sure what they did, but they put the spices, and after the body was wrapped, I guess they were, obviously all they could do is just put this ointment and spice stuff on top of the wrapping. And but anyway, they were going back to finish the job. Okay, any questions or comments on this? Next, let's look at Leviticus 23. This is a parallel passage and just retelling basically the same thing. Verses 5 through 7, Leviticus 23, 5 through 7. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Oh yeah, and this word of twilight comes up again, but it's the same terminology. And I found a Young's literal translation, and he translated it correctly, and he says between the evenings. And Kaufman had said between the eaves is how they also referred to it. But that twilight, see, we think of twilight is as the sun is going down or has gone down, the last bit of light. So that would be like the 6 p.m. Well, that's not whenever they started killing these animals. That was at the end of the day. They already had to have them cooking because they were about to start eating them. And that was the starting of the Passover feast. And so they had started the killing process 3 hours earlier. And so this is, twilight is a misrepresentation in English to us. It should have been in the middle of the afternoon. I wish on a translation for us to realize that's what it should say. And then people would understand that this is 3 p.m. if it would, yes. Yes. Yes, which now I did not read that part, but the command was, and it's there in Exodus, and it might even be here, even in Leviticus, it's probably repeated, but they're going to roast it whole, entrails and all. So it's the guts and everything are that. So so I guess that saves some time. You didn't have to gut it and chop it all up. So, but you're right. They had to skin it, get that wool or hair, the skin off of the animal, and then
drain the blood,
and then put him on that skewer, whatever it is, and then get him on the fire, start him rotating. And then it had to be cooked because God was very plain. I didn't read. There was 20 or 25 verses there in Exodus, but I didn't want to take the time to read all of that. But it had to be cooked. He said, you're not going to eat any of this raw. It must be. And he said it could not be boiled. Right, it was no boil. And I forgot, it seemed like a couple other things. And it said it. Do what? That, yes, very good. Nothing raw or boiled. And it had to be cooked by fire. Okay, but so verse 5, so this is this twilight thing. I wish you would say, you know, for us, the middle of the afternoon or between the eaves is the literal translation from Greek, from Hebrew to English. Between the eaves or between the evening or in the middle of the evening. And verse 6, on the 15th day of the same month, is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord, and 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Okay, so this is where it didn't say in Exodus the 15th about that being the holy day. It does say here in verse 7, on the first day, which is this 15th day of Nisan, you shall have a holy convocation. And this is, again, a reference to what they called a high day or a high Sabbath, which was not the ordinary Sabbath. And this is has caused some confusion because, I don't know, people don't realize that. And so that's why they think whenever it says a high day, they're thinking only Saturday. So that's why they're putting this crucifixion on Friday. But as we'll see here, you don't get 3 days and three nights by being crucified on Friday. There are not 3 days and not three nights for a Sunday morning resurrection before daylight. Okay, and then verse 16, count 15 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Let me see. Okay. No, this was... No, not the 16th. The 16th verse was on Exodus. That's not what... So 5 through 7 on this Leviticus 23 are... those were the passages that I wanted to look at there. So any questions or comments on this? Okay, from here, let's go... Because we have not gotten this month of Nisan mentioned, and I'm very surprised at that. And the only place in the Bible that I've been able to find that the first month is named of what month it's called is Esther 3, verse 7. Esther 3, 7 is the only verse that I can find it in the Bible, and I was surprised at that. I would have thought for sure that it had been listed in Exodus and then, or in, at least in Leviticus, but it's not. But Esther 3, verse 7, names this month. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan. Now see, it wasn't always the first month of their calendar, but God realigned their calendar, as we saw in Exodus. And so now, this is many years later, past that time, and I'm not sure, I'm going to say 500 or more years, I'm not sure where this Esther fell into it, but many centuries, several centuries later, and here it is, in the first month, which is the month of Nisan. So, that's the naming of what the first month is. So, that's why this is the month of Nisan, this first month that they're doing the Passover. Okay. Any questions or comments on that? Now, I'm going to look at one more passage, and it's 1 Peter chapter 1, and what we referenced before, what earlier I had mentioned. 1 Peter chapter 1, and this is going to bring into light the sacrificial lamb should be without blemish. So I'm going to start at verse 17. Verse 19 is the verse that we're after. But to get context here, let's start in verse 17. So 1 Peter 1:17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. So obviously conduct our time here on earth in fear, but it's a reverent fear and a reverent respect for God, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible or perishable things like gold or silver, and you were also not redeemed from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your ancestors. So he's saying, while we're here on earth, we need to have a respectful fear because our sins are not going to be forgiven by gold or silver, and it's not going to be forgiven by following the traditions of our ancestors. But instead, we are redeemed, or our sins are forgiven by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So, this is a reference back to Exodus 12 that God had them, had the Israelites to start doing on the week of the Passover. On their Passover sacrifice, obviously, for this same, and we get the same wording, a lamb without blemish and without spot was the Messiah. I'll finish reading these next two verses. So then, Christ the Messiah, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. So he was chosen to be the Messiah. The unique Son of God was chosen before God created the world, started any of creation. It was planned that the unique Son of God would be the sin sacrifice for all of mankind, but was manifest or revealed in the last times for you. So this plan was made way, way, way long time ago, but it was manifest in these last times. So it was a little before Peter wrote this. So something like 30 or 40, probably like, more like 20 or maybe 30 years earlier is when Jesus did this. So that's when he was revealed in the last times for you who through him believe in God. So it was for you who believe in Jesus, who through Jesus believe in God, and who raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. So we believe in it, faith and hope in God through and because of this sacrifice of the Messiah's precious blood. And he was a lamb without blemish and without spot. And because of that, that's why we can believe in God and have faith and hope in God. Okay, any questions or comments on this? Okay, after we sing what I plan to cover. Oh, well, we're not finished. Now I'm going to go over this chart. So we'll do that now. These are the parallels of the Passover. Of what Jesus did versus what they had been doing for 1,500 years. So on the 10th of Nisan, the sacrificial lamb was chosen. Okay, and on this week when Jesus made his triumphal entry, this was on this 10th of Nisan was on a Sunday. Anyway, the Hebrews chose Jesus as their king. As Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, this is now known as Palm Sunday. And Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. So this is how we know it's on the 10th of Nisan. Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. They were selling these sacrificial animals on the 10th of Nisan. And then Jesus had stayed with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus on that Sabbath. And it was on the next day that he made his triumphal entry. So that's how we know that also that this is Sunday. So there's several verifications here that the 10th of Nisan was Jesus' triumphal entry. And that day fell on Sunday. Okay. Then on the 11th, they would examine the lamb for a blemish, and if a blemish is found, the sacrificial animal must be replaced. And then, with Jesus, the Jewish leaders intensely examined Jesus to try to find a fault in him. And Luke's account puts that, it'll be Luke chapter 20, and they are questioning, by what authority are you doing these things? Which they... Of course, this brought up a big stir when Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. And they are wanting to know, what authority are you doing this? Because you're exerting yourself as having higher authority than we have by giving us commands. And so what authority? is this, which he was obviously, by going into the temple here, doing this, exerting himself as the King of the Jews, as the Messiah. And they were wanting to question this, which they questioned his messiahship the whole time and always wanted to cast doubt. Even though it was very obvious that they knew that he was the Messiah, and also here in Luke chapter 20, the next chapter, right after this first investigation that they had, which it was, Luke says, one of these days, Kaufman feels like that this was probably the Monday, right after he ran these money changers out, and here they are, they're already on him, examining him, following this plan of examining this sacrificial animal, but Jesus, of course, not an animal, but examining the sacrifice every day intensely, looking for a flaw. So that's exactly what they're doing, to see if they could get him to trip up in any way. But anyway, he then, after Luke chapter 20, that we'll be covering sometime here in the near future probably, then Jesus gives a parable that unjust caretakers of the vineyard, where they kill, what the correlation is, that Jesus, that God has sent the Israelites, all of these prophets, and they've killed all the prophets. And so then God sends them his own son, said, well, surely they will respect even my own son. Well, then the people, which was representative of these Pharisees, namely, but others too, was, well, hey, here is the heir of the kingdom. And if we will kill the heir, then guess what? We will be the inherit the kingdom. And that is the parable that Jesus gives them, that tells them that this is what they were doing and this is what they are thinking. So, and now I don't know how they thought that they were going to inherit God's kingdom that he had given a prophesied through Daniel, that sometime in the Roman Empire days, in the days of the kings of the Roman Empire, God will establish a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And how they thought that by killing the Messiah, God's unique son, that they would inherit that kingdom. I don't know why they or how they thought that, but that is exactly what Jesus said that they were doing. And Kaufman said that he tells them the whole plan right there of what their plan was. So I just don't know how they thought that they would inherit God's kingdom by killing off the Messiah. But obviously that's what they thought. They didn't want God's son being the king. I guess they thought, well, we will be the kings and the rulers of God's kingdom forever if we kill him. I guess was their thinking. And that's what it That's what is told there in the parable that Jesus gives, what is thought to be, at least by Kaufman, on this Monday, this first day of examination. Well, or I'll say it's the second day of examination, but the first real test that that Luke gives. Okay, the 12th of Nisan, they are to continue to examine the animal for a blemish or a flaw or a spot. And on Jesus' week, it was a Tuesday now, the 12th of Nisan, and the Jewish leaders continued their fault-finding campaign. Then the 13th of Nisan, they continued to examine the animal for a flaw, and this is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And what was significant and important on that day is all the leaven or yeast must be purged from the house. That was the cleaning day. So, what happened on that Wednesday, on that 13th of Nisan, this week that Jesus was crucified? Jesus commanded the apostles to start preparing for the Passover. So, they had an upper room prepared, or Jesus had an upper room, and he told those apostles, they asked, when are we going to do observe the Passover? What are we going to do? He said, go into this upper room and you will and start preparing for this Passover, which obviously was, they had to clean it, they had to get rid of all the yeast. sweep it all out. And so that's what they did. And then that night, that Wednesday night, was the Last Supper, and Jesus was arrested at midnight. What we would call the Wednesday night, they called it Thursday night, because their day had rolled over at 6 p.m. So he was actually, in Hebrew time, he was arrested on the 14th of Nisan, the same day he was sacrificed. Okay, the 14th of Nisan, sacrificial lambs were slaughtered. If no blemish had been found after 4 days of intense investigation, and it was sacrificed between the eves, which is 3 p.m. So if there had been no blemish found after 4 days, or this actually would be the fifth day of intense examination of this animal, then they were to sacrifice it. Okay, what happened with Jesus? Since the Jews could find no fault in Jesus after 4 days of intense investigation, he was sacrificed. So, and this, also on the internet this past week, as I was looking, there was comments that people had made that, you know, it was the people's responsibility from the 10th to the 13th to make sure there was no blemish. Then they bring it to the priest for the sacrifice here on the 14th. And then he really intensely looked it over, the animal, before he killed it, because the responsibility also was him, that he was not supposed to sacrifice one of these animals if it had a spot or a blemish on him. And so this people had come up with, this was symbolic of what the scribes, priests, and Pharisees did with Jesus on the trial in the Sanhedrin. They really gave a very intense trial period, and Jesus had to go before Pilate, King Herod, and the Sanhedrin. So that was the culminated with the most intense investigation. And Pilate found no fault in him. There was no blemish there. Herod found no fault in him. There was no blemish there. The Sanhedrin, they called all of these false witnesses, and they could get nothing of evidence to convict him. And finally, all that they could come up with is that he said, claimed to be the Messiah. So they said, well, that's it. You're claiming to be the Son of God. That's blasphemy. We're going to get you on that. Well, he was just telling the truth. But anyway, so this 14th of Nisan, this Thursday, since the Jews could find no fault in Jesus after 4 days of intense investigation, he was sacrificed, and Jesus died at 3 p.m. between the eaves, which is the time that they were supposed to start killing their sacrifices, according to starting in Exodus. Jesus was placed in a new tomb before 6 p.m., and Jesus was buried before 6 p.m. Okay, and then this, we'll count these 3 days and three nights. And we put both Hebrew time and our time. Hebrew time, the 14th of Nisan, this Thursday, was day one. But according to how we count time, we would say day one and night one, because we'd say Thursday night. But theirs it was not. It was Friday for them. Okay, so now we'll go to the 15th of Nisan. And this is the Passover feast. And the Hebrews would eat the sacrificial lamb and unleavened bread. So, with Jesus this week, that he was sacrificed, this Friday, this was what was known as the High Sabbath Day. And so, one of the days that he was in the heart of the earth. So according to Hebrew time, this was night one, but day two. And then our time was day two, night two. Then on the Saturday, that was the ordinary Sabbath. So you had two high days, two Sabbath days back to back here. And Jesus' body could not be anointed Friday and Saturday because these two days were holy days. And then Hebrew time, this was night two and day three. And then according to our time, how we calculate it, we would say day three, night three. So according to the Hebrew time and our calculation, Jesus has already been 3 days in the heart of the earth by this Saturday. So then this Sunday was the third night according to the Hebrew time calculation. We would call it Saturday night. But Jesus resurrected before dawn. This was the first opportunity that the women had to anoint Jesus' body since he had been placed in the tomb. This fulfilled Jesus' prophecy that he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So, any questions or comments on this? I know that this Hebrew time can be confusing. Anybody have any questions or want any other explanation on the Hebrew time versus our time? The Hebrew time started at 6 p.m., and that's when their new day started. So it would be like today, tonight at 6 p.m., they would call that Monday starting then, where our clock doesn't roll over to the next day until midnight. So they were 6 hours ahead of us. So that's the disparity between this that causes some confusion. But everything lines up here. It was a beautiful plan that God designed and devised before the foundation of the earth here, 1 Peter 1. And it's really something to see how it all unfolded in real life. So any questions or comments on any of this?